preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, my woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too
welcome,
many
folks.
Things these old boys can't do.
Thanks for joining these old boys. Paul Prom with us from somewhere. Where are you, Paul?
Back here in Crenic.
All right, in Canada, welcome back. And this is Kelso in North Dakota, sharing the northern cold with Paul Prom. You're part of our show, folks, at 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. That's your chance to get in on the show. And not a big news day because it's a federal holiday. The big day, I think, will be tomorrow. I think we'll hear some stuff out of the House committees from whence I expect a torrent of trouble for the left as they uncover these documents and treasonous individuals at the top of the FBI, in the DNC, and throughout the let's identify it, folks, the communist network. That's what it is. Communism is nothing if not a shape-shifting undertaking. It's essential to what Lenin wrote about communism. It's essential to what Saul Alinsky wrote about it, is being able to shape-shift, to take one guise and then another, to fool people, is fundamental to communism. And then let's get to today's show is going to start anyway with the central tenet of communism, if I may, just as I take it. You can give me your own impression out there, folks. But I think the core belief of the religion of communism is that everyone is equal. I think that's the core tenet of their religion. Now, it turns out it's more, as George Orwell said, it's everyone's equal, but some people are more equal than others. And that's the way it ends up in practice. Of course, the communist apparatchiks are not equal at all. They don't practice that at all. But it's the tenet of the profession of their faith is we're all equal. And this is now front and center with the latest attacks by the communists, or we'll call them the leftists, whatever. I like to call them the communists, is that Donald Trump is a racist. He is a horrible. And of course, what's the great sin? Again, if we want to view communism as a cult, which it is, the central tenet, we're all equal. The great sin, then, if you deny that we're all equal, you are then, instead of a devil, they call you a racist. And Donald Trump is that racist for them. Now, for us patriots, I think we profess belief in reality, belief in intelligence, belief in science, belief in how things actually are. And the beautiful thing, I'm going to go to a column in just a moment from a great correspondent at Breitbart named James Dellingpole. We identify things accurately. So, and here's the title from Dellingpole: Trump, making the world great again, one shithole at a time. And he says, now listen to this. I know I'm using the word there, but you know, I'll use pothole with an S, you know, so I don't repeat the word. But I wanted to give you the impact of that title. And I love this column by John Dellingpole. And I love this, what Breitbart writes here. He says, isn't it just the best thing that we finally got a president of the United States who calls a shithole a shithole?
No, and you know, the reason that caused so much outrage, James, it is not the salty language. Come on, everybody knows when men get together, they sometimes speak like that. It's the fact that Donald Trump dissented from the cultural Marxist, or you would say communist, worldview that all people are equal.
Yes.
And the delusion of communism, it started off with a false premise. All people are equal. Well, they look around, they see they're not equal. So when reality doesn't live up to ideology, what the communists have done, and the cultural Marxists as well, is to invent a cause. Well, all men are not equal the way they ought to be because of capitalism. So that's what communism went after.
Right. That brings in, right, yes. Now comes, Paul is introducing their action program. We are all equal. It also comes out to not only we are all equal, but maybe even more fundamentally, we all should be equal. We all should be equal. And any inequality that exists is the result of oppression. So if my income is different from your income, it's because of oppression. If my education is different from yours, it's oppression. On and on and on. If the country that I'm able to live in is different from the one you're able to live in, then that's oppression. So what we have here then is the dissolution of all borders. We have affirmative action, as explained by all of this. In other words, all the people who don't have college degrees, which would be everybody in Africa, well, they all deserve a scholarship to Cornell and to any American university they want to go to, because it's wrong. It's wrong, folks. It's racist that they don't have a college degree. It's racist that the gross domestic product individual per capita in Somalia is $92 a year. That's right, folks, 25 cents a day. That's absolutely racist. And whose fault is it? Well, who's making more money? It's their fault. So what is the moral imperative? They have to give enough of their money to those people that they come up to the $50,000 a year in per capita GDP of the United States. So, that's what, of course, it's insanity. And so you say, well, that's implausible. Is that can't really be their religion? That can't really be their code. Yes, it is. Yes, it is, folks. And Donald Trump, let's go back to this article. He says, in fact, of all Donald Trump's many qualities, I think this, says Dellingpole, may be his greatest and his most underrated strength. But you're not supposed to say this. At least not in respectable company. Even now, after all his incredible achievements, you're still only allowed to praise Donald Trump if first you preceded it with lots of disclaimers about how much you deplore his sexism, his brashness, his incoherence, and general uncouthness. I'm not buying that virtue signaling crap, though. Check out this short film I made on Trump for the BBC this week. Now, you can't watch that, but it's there. At Breitbart, I think Donald Trump is amazing. Dellingpole sounds like a man after my own heart. And I think what makes him so amazing, or rather so effective as politician and a world leader, is that vulgarity, which we're all supposed to pretend is his fatal flaw. No, it's not. You know, Paul, you're a great student of English. I love people that can write three or four word sentences. No, it's not. It's his secret weapon. And then he uses, he uses some examples here. And let me skip down through the examples. Skip through all the examples. Go down to the bottom of the column, and I hope he comes up with a... He wraps it up. And, well, he says, at the end, he says, Trump, on the other hand, he's comparing him to Obama, wouldn't even know what cultural sensitivity means. And one day, the world will thank him for it. So, folks, and we've alluded to this on the show. We've actually directly addressed this question on this show. Donald Trump, when he uses a shocking word or a blunt word, that's a better word, a blunt word, he's being actually more appropriate. If you're in a situation, a desperate situation, where it's a life or death situation, you need to be blunt. Yeah. You need round it off, namby-pamby words. Don't cut it. It's a life or death situation, so strong language is called for. The kind of language that soldiers use on a battlefield. Can you imagine what the language... I've never been on a battlefield, but those of you out there who have, tell us. Is the language salty?
Yeah, I'm sure it was.
I'll bet you actually, to a soldier in the field in a firefight, words fail. There aren't enough salty words in the language to express what the soldier feels in a life or death situation. And that's what we're in. Yeah. And so when Donald Trump, on all these questions, he tells the truth. And we made that point. Why did Donald Trump win? Why is he such a success? Why is he a model for the rest of us who are engaged in some here and there aspect of politics, like the American Freedom Party? What do we have to learn from Donald Trump? It's simple. Speak the truth. Say to the public, speak it out loud, what they are actually thinking, and you will be successful in politics.
Tell the truth and stick to your guns. Be sure what you say is what you really mean. Be sure, you're not just to blurt something, but if this is what you believe, as Donald Trump did about the wall and the lying media, just to take two examples, if you thought it through and that's what you believe, stick to it. Because people do not like a waffler. And yes. I won't get into Canadian politics right now, but we have got several conservative leaders up here who bend with the wind, and they think they're being very clever. But what people really want, as they've shown with the election of Donald Trump, against all odds, against the media defamation, people want a leader who tells them the truth. I mean, even if they don't necessarily agree with it or totally like it, that what Donald Trump says is what he means.
Yes, and let me put in insert here an additional thought, Paul. Very true what you just said, but there is something. Donald Trump takes it to it one step further. He doesn't just mean what he says. And he says what he means. That's really powerful stuff, which Paul just described there. But he does something else that makes him successful in politics. He has bothered to go find out what America thinks, what Mr. and Mrs. founder, settler, people of America, the middle class, the heart of America. This even includes non-Europeans. But most specifically, of course, Donald Trump's central core public is Europeans. And he has divined, it's not hard to do, what does Mr. and Mrs. America, what do they think? What do they believe? What is hugely, critically important for them? And then he has said that. Not what Donald Trump may believe. So if Donald Trump had some sort of a belief that America doesn't share, saying it honestly would be more effective than pussyfooting around. However, he's done more than that. He is saying to America, when he says that these countries are the hellholes that they are, that's what America believes. When he says that we don't have a nation if we don't have a border, that's what America believes. These are obvious things, aren't they? And when he says that the people are not the same. He said, why do we'd be better off, we want people who can contribute to our society. So people from Norway, that would be some great immigration. Now that just drives the left just crazy. That's a cardinal offense. That's a capital crime.
It's absolute heresy because it says all people are not equal.
Now, exactly. Well,
in some religious sense or before the law, but they're not all equally able to contribute. If you come from a shithole like Haiti, you probably, this would be my interpretation, maybe not Trump's, you're not very intelligent. You come with very little background. You come from a society that's fundamentally corrupt and lazy. Now, you know, you might be a saint, you might, but probably you don't have a lot to offer. If you come from Norway, you probably have a very good education, and with that education, you probably speak better English than some North Americans. You probably have some pretty decent skills, and we won't have to bend over backwards to help you accommodate culturally because you fit in.
Yes. And it's even it even goes you know. To this level, folks, that the if you bring, let's pick Sudan. If you bring 100,000 Sudanese in, and I'll bet we brought in more than that. If you bring in 100,000 Sudanese, why is Sudan a hellhole? What makes Sudan a hellhole? Is it the climate? No. Is it the geography? No. Some of these countries, like Mexico, the climate, the geography, the natural resources are better than ours, considerably better. Check out the beaches, the beaches at, you know, of the Yucatan, okay, and compare them to the beaches of the Oregon coast, all right? Tell me which one you'd rather stretch out on the sand on in your bathing suit. In Oregon, you need a parka and ski boots to lie on the beach. But what makes those countries hellholes? It's the population. And if you bring those, this is so obvious, it's embarrassing, isn't it? The obviousness of what we believe, folks. If you bring those people who made that country a hellhole to your country, guess what? They bring with them what made that country a hellhole. And they will make a hellhole of your country. Maybe not fully right away, but to the degree that they influence your country, they will pull it in the direction of the hellhole from whence they came. They will not have an epiphany, a magical transformation, where they will suddenly stop being Sudanese who build Sudans. No, and this applies to all of these countries. And for Donald Trump to say this, now I'm going to give you another article in just a moment. The big frenzy in the media right now is that Donald Trump is a racist. Oh my God, Donald Trump is a racist. Say it again. Every single TV host is saying it over and over again. Now, he's simply speaking the truth. There's a story today from Rand Paul, which is designed, designed to refute this case that Donald Trump is a racist. And Donald Trump himself, when he addresses the question in a press conference, he says over and over again, uses this phrase, "I'm the least racist person you've ever interviewed." He uses that phrase over and over again. On the question of Haitians, here's the article. Let me see if I can find it. Now, and let me make the point. I like Dellingpole's point is that Donald Trump is great because he says the truth, not because he doesn't act like a racist, that he doesn't see differences. Because remember, the definition of a racist for the liberal is anyone who sees the reality of the differences among people. That's a racist. We'll come right back with a great story from Rand Paul after this break.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience-supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
So sick and tired of listening to what you got to say. I decided I just got to stand up and say so. Sick and tired of being sick and tired of being sick and tired of being treated this way. So I made my choice, gonna raise my voice and say it's time for you to pack up and go. You know who you are, you're lying so and so.
We're back, folks.
So I'm gonna stand up and say so.
We're back, and the you know, this is what's going around the media. The is that Donald Trump is a racist. Rand Paul came out with a great story today, and let me make this point. I just Kelso here, and it's what I advocate within the American Freedom Party. The line that works with our people is that we love our people. That is simple as that. Not that we hate anybody else. But that we love our white European people, and we passionately want our people to survive. We want them to have a world. We want our descendants to have a world as wonderful, or even more wonderful, but at least as wonderful as the one that we inherited from our European ancestors. And we all have, strictly, I mean, if you're a European, all your ancestors are European. Kind of goes without saying, doesn't it? Like 2 + 2 = 4. So we want our European descendants to have a European world. And that's it. That is a program that can appeal to our people. Now Donald Trump, so it's not necessary to show, we love all the other people in the world just as much. We don't have, in other words, we've bought the communist premise. We don't have a special love for our people. Yes, we do. See, that's not very communist. You need to go in for re-education. If you have a special love for your people, a special love for your family, you need re-education. You need to reread your little red book, your little Mao book. You can't care more about your parents than somebody else's. You can't care more about your children than somebody else's. Believe it or not, that was what Mao Zedong taught, and Lenin, and Trotsky. And of course, but they don't practice it in their own lives. Of course, hypocrisy is what they are. But nevertheless, that's their credo. Now, here's a story from Rand Paul. The reputation that Donald Trump is not a racist. He's a man who loves his people. He loves his country. That's what he is. But Rand Paul says, President Trump cares deeply about Haiti. He financed a medical mission trip there. Now, this is great. Rand Paul let this out today, and it clobbered this whole story. Senator Rand Paul, Republican of Kentucky, told NBC's Meet the Press on Sunday that charges of bigotry against President Donald Trump remain unfounded because the president previously financed a 2014 medical mission to Haiti. Now, Donald, see, this is typical of Donald Trump. He doesn't reveal these things about himself. He doesn't offer it at the microphone. If you find out these charitable acts by Donald Trump, you find them out through other people who are aware of them. Paul said on Meet the Press, I think it's unfair to sort of paint him, he's a racist, when I know for a fact that he cares very deeply about the people of Haiti because he helped finance a trip where they would get vision back for 200 people in Haiti. Now, why does Rand Paul know about this? He's an ophthalmological surgeon, an ophthalmologist, and who saves people's vision at his clinic in Kentucky. He's now not practicing because he's a U.S. senator, but he raised money. Donald Trump, back in 2014, long before any of this presidential stuff, he gave substantial funds to Rand Paul to help save the vision of 200 people in Haiti. Didn't ask for any credit, doesn't wear it on his sleeve. And he says, no, I'm not a racist, said the president in one of these grillings by the press. I'm the least racist person you have ever interviewed. That I can tell you. Senator Paul and a team of other doctors from the John A. Moran Eye Institute at the University of Utah performed these surgeries. And this story was even, I won't give you the details. But so Rand Paul came out with that today, and that's typical of Donald Trump. Donald Trump does not hate other races. And when he calls their shithole countries a shithole, that is not an act of hate. And I love the Africans who came forward and said, yes, our countries are shitholes. and that's why they leave. Folks, if they don't think of that of their country, why do they leave? Why are they willing to crawl into the wheel well of an airplane that's going to travel at 35,000 feet in order to get out of the country that they love, that's equal, that's just as good as yours? No. Why are they willing to go through the desert, the Southwest desert of the United States with their children, with little children and one bottle of water, as they trek across an impassable desert to get out of Mexico? This is the essence of communism, Paul. And of course, you and I, we've studied communism and the brainwashing that has to go on. George Orwell talked about it, so well. But you've got to get people to deny, to make communism function, you have to get people to deny plain reality.
Right.
We'll be right back, folks, and it's a chance for you to call in. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you one of them from Amazon.com. I was diagnosed with high blood pressure. I was a little bit alarmed, as I have always been in good health. I started this regime as soon as it arrived, and I have noted that the heaviness in my chest is gone and the pressure headaches I have been having are lessened. I am hoping to see greater results as time progresses, as I am an avid non-user of pharmaceuticals and avoid them at all cost if possible. This was, I think, a great alternative to heart medication. Not that I am a doctor, and for some, there is no choice, but again, for someone like me, I am so far pleased with the results. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hey, can we talk about something serious for a minute? Your age. Getting old has its perks. But remember, being a few years younger, you know, your hair was thicker, you didn't have so many wrinkles, that extra weight wasn't haunting you, and you just felt better. Well, we can't turn back the clocks and go back 10 or 15 years, but you can start feeling and looking 10 or 15 years younger with Nature's Youth RSF. It's a doctor-formulated daily supplement that helps your body maintain its peak performance and fight the aging process. Imagine sleeping better, looking better, and feeling better. See how Nature's Youth RSF has helped thousands of people just like you at naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com. The holidays are coming. Imagine how it will feel when your family and friends are asking you what you did to look so good. Your secret will be Nature's Youth RSF. It's time to start looking better and feeling better. Learn more and order your Nature's Youth RSF at naturesyouth.com. That's naturesyouth.com.
We're back, folks. We've got John in Missouri holding on the line. We'll be with you in just a moment, John. But let's give you the flavor of this latest. But notice, by the way, communists, another trait of communists is that they network. They work as a team. And that's what the American news media, Donald Trump has exposed this fact, that the American media has been a communist team for decades. And I just use the term communism. Well, they are turds, but I use the term communism. You can pick your own term. What are left wingers, social justice warriors, whatever the term du jour is fine. But they are communists, and notice that they work, hand in glove with each other. One institution, like the academia, works in hand in glove with the media, hand in glove with the government bureaucracy. And the churches, they've infiltrated the churches following the Alinsky Leninist strictures. Here, look at these headlines. Liberal talker Bill Press: Donald Trump's base is extreme, wacko, and racist. They are rednecks. So then we go to the next story. Gavin Newsom calls Trump a racist. and to joke, demanding he resign. This word racist will always appear, folks. The prisoners in Guantanamo are demanding release because Donald Trump is a racist. Yes. Sheila Jackson Lee says Trump's dastardly comments are part of his particularly what? Racist behavior. Morning Joe joke. I like this. Somebody says Morning Joke Scarborough is triggered by Trump. What? Racism. Al Sharpton says to Trump, you are a racist. And on and on. Every single, it's, you know, they're all saying the same thing at the same time. And in decades past, this has worked for the communists. But now, they've lost their mojo, to use their own phrase. And white America isn't buying it anymore. Let's go to one of those Americans who's not buying it anymore, John in Missouri, and then we'll have Mike in Kentucky. John, you're on the air.
Hi, James. We're all racist. It's the one common thread we all have.
Yeah, if you
everybody's a racist. Everybody sees color first.
Yes.
I don't buy it that you don't see what color the guy is or the girl is.
Exactly, yeah.
That doesn't mean you got to hate them.
Yeah.
I was watching.
I was watching a cab driver last night in the middle of the night in freezing weather here in North Dakota. I was watching a cab driver, and I felt sorry for the guy. I thought, is there something I can do? He had this look on his face. Just, you know, you just could read that look. There were about six young blacks with wearing their pants. I mean, way below their crotch, you know, you all you people know what it looks like. I don't know how do they do this, but the belts on their pants were below their crotch quite a ways, and so what you saw was their underwear. It's about six of these guys getting into his minivan cab in the middle of the night, and the look on his face was one of like you know just prayer. Six of these guys getting into his cab. Now, exactly, John, what was he thinking? What was that look on his face? And if I were a cab driver and that was my ride, no, I just retired right there. Go ahead, John.
No, they wouldn't have got in my cab either. If you can't pull your pants up, you ain't getting in my cab. Yeah. I don't want all that on my seats. We've been seeing that for years. That's just disgusting. Somebody needs to teach them kids.
But yeah, and the point is this: yeah, we are all of us, everybody, good black folks. I mean, bad black folks, good white folks, bad white folks. Everybody sees race. It's the primary fact of life. And the there's another quote. Who is this? Was it, what's his face? Jesse Jackson. Jesse Jackson said, when I'm alone in the middle of the night on a dark street and I hear steps behind me and my heart starts to beat faster and I turn around and look and it's a white guy, I suddenly relax.
Well, I'm sure they do. Most crime is black on black.
That's Jesse Jackson saying that.
He knows.
And he dares call Donald Trump a racist.
This is the same Jesse Jackson. This is the same Jesse Jackson who said that when he used to work in a restaurant, he would put his own special sauce on the salads of white people.
Right. That ain't very racist, is it?
No, not at all. And he puts it in a book. He writes about it. What are Paul and I and other patriots, what are we proposing? We love our people in the same way that we love our own children, and we want them to have a world that's the kind of world we were given.
I love what Steve King said. Notice it's coming out all over, folks. The world is polarizing. The people who get it are speaking out as they never have, and the people who hate us, you know, they're doubling down also. But Steve King, congressman of Iowa, said, you can't raise other people's children. You can't do that. You can't, you know, have a world if you're raising other people's children, which is exactly what we're doing when we bring in millions and millions of non-Europeans into our country. We're educating them, clothing them, housing them. We're raising them. And at whose expense? The expense of our own children and descendants. That money doesn't grow on trees. That money is taken from somewhere to give to all of these other people. Go ahead, John.
Oh, exactly, James. You know, I was reading a thing about you, and it said you was a scout. You were an Eagle Scout.
Eagle Scout, senior patrol leader of the most successful troop in the world, Troop 223 in Pacific Palisades, California. Over 700 Eagles. Go ahead. Order
well,
the arrow.
I was in the scouts myself, and our scoutmaster said you leave the place better than you found it. You know, when you went on a camping trip, you police the area. You don't care if you're the one that left the trash there. We pick it up. We leave a little wood. And that's what we need to do as Americans, is leave our country a little bit better off than we found it. And our last president didn't do that. He left grandchildren and great-grandchildren in debt.
Yes.
And it would be terrible for us if when the young people take over, that we got to leave them this terrible debt.
Yes.
It's unheard of. It's Obama said it. It's un-American.
And here's the simple mission that we patriots have, is to convince our fellow white folks, other races, other people. Of course, you should have your own patriotic movements among your people. The Japanese, for example, could have great patriotic movements in Japan, which I think they do have. And their mission, what is their mission of patriots in Japan? It's to keep Japan Japanese. And guess what?
Right.
They're successful at it.
They don't put up with that nonsense of letting everybody come in. They don't deal with it. It's not
exactly
going to happen here, and that's what we need. You know, opposed to letting people come in that are going to improve the country, but if they come in looking for a free lunch, we got enough of them here already.
Yes, and today brings another news item that stresses the point that we're polarizing in America. Mitt Romney brings us this point. Our mission with our own people is just persuade our own people that it's okay to be proud that you're white. It's okay to love your own people. It's okay to passionately, not just as a sideline, but to passionately want your civilization and your race preserved. That's a wonderful and a good thing. It's not racist. If we can sell, Paul, as salesmen, if you and I and the rest of us, all you out there in the audience, if we can sell this idea to our own people, we will save our own people. Now, let me give an example of somebody who doesn't get it. A real dumbbell, a real ding-dong, Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney spent today calling Donald Trump, what? A racist. Let's see if I can even find maybe I can find it quickly enough. I'll look for it. But Mitt Romney uses the same line. He uses the communist line. He's not a communist, but I think it's safe to call Mitt Romney a Democrat. He shouldn't be running in Republican politics. He is a Democrat. But he goes after Donald Trump as being an absolutely intolerable, a morally intolerable racist, that we cannot let this stain be on our people. And then Mitt Romney goes into detail and he says it is wrong to say that people from any nation are not the same as any people from any other nation. Mitt Romney actually says this. Oh, and by the way, my little Mitt Romney story. When I was a young man in France, 17 years old and 18 years old, this is my little Mormon segment here. Of course, Orrin Hatch acquitted himself so magnificently. What a great member of the Latter-day Saints, Orrin Hatch is, and his tribute to what Donald Trump is doing at the tax cut victory speech. Mitt Romney's the opposite.
And when I was traveling on a train in France between between Poitiers and Bordeaux, my fellow passenger was Mitt Romney as a Mormon missionary. He must have been about 19 years old, big, tall guy. And we spent the whole train ride talking about, of course, Mormonism. He's a missionary. But a funny story, that was my train ride in France when I was, at that time, I guess I was 18 years old, and just traveling around Europe. But shame on Mitt Romney, and hear for Orrin Hatch. Go ahead, John.
No, I voted for him only because he was the lesser of two evils. I didn't like him. I didn't necessarily dislike him. I just keep going back to what we could have had, and that's Hillary.
Yep.
That notion is so scary. What a horrible thought. What an absolutely horrible thought to think that she could have been the president of the United States.
And the could have had, though. Yeah, but the could have had has to extend to people like Jeb Bush and Mitt Romney, though. Because, you know, you can die fast or you can die slow. Drip, drip, drip. And that's what the Jeb Bushes and the George Bushes, that's what they do to us. So if Mitt Romney were president or Jeb Bush, we'd have open borders. Because Mitt Romney really believes that you can't distinguish between people. You can't do it. It's morally wrong. He somehow believes in it. He somehow believes in
his heart. He's got a door on his house.
Of course. And of course, it's all hypocritical.
It's all nonsense is what it is.
It's all nonsense.
Hey, look, I'm going to let other people talk. So thanks for listening to me, and have a nice day.
Thank you, John. And we're going to jump here. Mike, stay tuned. Stay there. We're going to jump to Rob in New Jersey. Rob, you're on the air.
Oh, hey. Hello, Jamie.
It's me.
It's me from this shithole state. And, I want to say that when Trump made that comment, if he made the comment, he never said race. You know, he never mentioned the word race. Everybody else did. I mean, Haiti and Africa are multi-ethnic, but predominantly black, yes. But it's everyone else who made it a race issue. So, and Ann Coulter said, let's be respectful. You know, these aren't shithole countries. We should call them shithole nations.
Yes. And you're right. Exactly. There, Donald Trump can make the response, hey, I didn't mention race. That's you. That's in your head. Oh, and wonderful. Today in his tweet, Donald Trump, he's great at naming people, low energy Jeb Bush and so on. His name now for Richard Durbin is Dickie Durbin.
Sneaky Dickie Durbin.
Dickie Durbin. I love it. And of course, I watched. Just to see who is this creep, I listened to some speeches by Dick Durbin. What, he is a creep. I feel sorry for Illinois. My goodness, what a disgrace Dick Durbin is.
Yeah, and he was for closing the borders years ago, and they had him on videotape. Where he's saying back and forth, not reliable, and I think he's a racist.
Yeah.
But in any event, I'm going to wait a few days and this whole thing will blow over. I mean, everybody is concerned about this comment. Africa wants to see the ambassadors, and Haiti wants to see the ambassadors. And I don't know where they're going to meet because the whole place is a garbage dump. And anyway, I think Trump... Trump said, we all agree with him. Basically, most people agree. We're taking in all these people that are, that don't contribute anything, that take and have to be placed on welfare and have to be supported. And whereas, Germany, the AfD suggested, we haven't tried increased birth rate policy or a pro-family policy right here? Why do we have to import all these non-productive people, these dysfunctional people from dysfunctional countries?
Yes, and of course, and we were never asked. This is one of the wonderful things that Donald Trump and Steve King and others have mentioned. We were never asked. White America was not asked, do you want your country to be invaded? And every time we're polled, we say, no, 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 no. So it's a treasonous political class that's doing this against our will. Stay there, Rob. We'll get to Mike in Kentucky right after this break. Stay there, Rob.
Last 10 years, like they should. Cause the best of the free life is still yet to come. The good times ain't over for good.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation, and Angioprim is the result. A safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones. Please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you one from Amazon.com. I just wanted you to know I saw my doctor and I laughed because he said, I don't know what you're doing, but keep doing it. I have been taking Extendivite. I had borderline high blood pressure, heart flutter, high cholesterol. I changed my diet and included Extendivite with an amazing turnaround for the better. A few months later, I had a doctor's appointment and took a stress test. I passed. No heart flutter. Blood pressure was perfect. My doctor even took me off my medicine. I thank you truly from the bottom of my heart. This stuff works, and I'm so grateful for Extendivite. Thank you, Justin G. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
We're back, folks. We've got Rob on the line in New Jersey and Mike holding on. Let me just give one stunning fact. I'll try to get to both of you again. Here's a stunning fact talking about these countries. Nigeria right now has a population of 186 million people. 186 million. I would estimate 186 million of them want to get out if they could get to the U.S. Their 2006 population was 140 million. The population I just gave you was the 2016. In 10 years, their population increased 46 million people. In 10 years, folks, that exceeds the total population. This is to show you how unworkable this immigration garbage is. The total population of Austria, Switzerland, Denmark, Finland, Norway, New Zealand, Ireland, Latvia, Iceland, Estonia, and Lithuania combined are less than 46 million people. And that was simply the population bulge in Nigerian population in 10 years. We cannot be the shelter for these people. And of course, the populations of all those 11 nations I just listed, from Austria to Lithuania, of course, their populations are not growing. Their white populations are not growing at all. In fact, they're contracting. So this is a suicide mission. Rob, I want to thank you for calling, buddy, as always.
Okay, let me just say, I wasn't serious about that comment about New Jersey. New Jersey is a wonderful garden state, but Camden maybe is going downhill. But in any event, I see people escaping from Nigeria and landing up in it, around Italy already.
You know, if you offered them an apartment, if you offered them an apartment in New Jersey, 186 million Nigerians would accept it in a heartbeat.
That's right.
All right. Thank you, Rob. Thank you, my friend.
Bye-bye.
And Mike in Kentucky, we're just going to be able to say hello to you before we run out of time. Mike, how are you doing?
Oh, I'd be doing all right, but I'd say them Nigerians had better watch their kidneys. Some rabbi might take them.
Oregon pyramid ring
that got caught in New Jersey and New York with a bunch of rabbis and a bunch of kickbacks to government officials that were grabbing homeless people. So they might not want to come over here. But I've seen all this stuff.
Trump's mentally ill,
and all these psychiatrists are supposedly diagnosing him. That's an ethical violation. And where is the professional psychological associations, like the American Psychological Association, going, whoa, wait a minute, you can't do that. That's ethics violation.
Well, they did the right thing. They did the right thing in condemning that. And by the way, talking about stealing organs. That is supposedly, we'll read about that going on in China. You do not want to have a surgical emergency in China because you might come out of the surgery. And apparently in some of these deals, you come out of the surgery with a missing kidney and you don't even know it.
You finally find the scar, I would think.
They don't tell you. They don't tell you that, you know, we did an appendectomy on you. You only have one kidney now.
Stupid. But, yeah, I was working on this meme. I saw this meme. It's floating around that says Trump's mentally ill. He built a multi-billion-dollar empire spread across the world. All this stuff. And it says, perhaps we need more mentally ill people in Washington.
Yes. We'll talk about that. Yes. In addition to racist, exactly, we're all mentally ill as well for having our heads screwed on straight. Well, folks, we'll be back with you with all your common sense again tomorrow night at 9 o'clock Eastern Time. See you then.
Do you worry a lot? If you're forgetful, nervous, moody, or overwhelmed, chances are you're not protecting yourself from the ravaging effects of stress and anxiety. No matter the cause, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, your quality of life, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in as little as 1 to 2 weeks and increase your ability to recall facts, names, and numbers in 4 to 12 weeks. Calm and Clever was created by scientist Kurt Hendricks, a principal investigator in 2 NIH-funded studies on Alzheimer's disease. Try Calm and Clever for 2 months. You'll feel the difference. Call 1-800-758-8746 or go to calmandclever.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network.
because you can handle the truth.